Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm talking into a microphone with a couple of others talking into microphones. It's Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
This is a microphone?
What do you think, it was a paddle pop?
Yes. And I was like, the flavour is lacking.
This is, well, why am I talking into it?
Yeah. I was like, why are you guys talking into your delicious treats?
Mine tastes good.
Maddie, stop licking it. You don't know whose mouths have been on that.
I know exactly whose mouths have been on it.
How are you, boys?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Matt's pretty good. I'm so good. Matt's just come back from a sweet little jaunt in Brisbane.
Had a great time in Brisbane, actually. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did you have a good jaunt?
Met a lot of listeners. People up there are keen to get us up to do a live pod, and I hope...
And we refuse. No, we'd love to.
Well, no, yeah, I was going to say, hopefully you guys don't mind, but I basically promised a few different people that we'd be coming up later this year.
Okay, cool.
Okay, who did you promise? The mayor?
The mayor, Mr. Mayor, also Mrs. Mayor.
Damn it. You did a double whammy.
I was going to say Tom Tate, my favourite mayor, but that's Gold Coast, which we could also visit.
Tommy Tate's there as
How
well.
How do you know the mayor of Gold Coast?
He is a great source of humour.
Okay. Is he better than the mayor of Geelong?
Yes. Is that still that? The paparazzi bloke?
No, I don't think so. The guy with the fake six-pack on top of a big old gut.
If you're from overseas and you don't know, we once had a mayor who was
Not
a fat
we,
guy.
Geelong.
Geelong, which is a city that's really close to Melbourne, had a mayor, was his name Darren?
Yeah.
Darren something, who was a former paparazzi that worked in England, and he's a fat guy, but he wanted to look muscular, so we got like surgical implants to make him look like he had a six-pack over his fat.
And he always had like a rainbow mohawk. His hair was always very interesting.
He was a real cool
what a
guy.
Character. He's so cool.
Wait, hang on.
But anyway, he is.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, but Brisbane was a good time, Matt?
Brisbane was a real good time. Yeah, had a really fun time. Did some fun shows. But yeah, Hayao Bar up there was really good. So, I don't know. I liked it up there. There was one guy I liked who brought a few friends. I don't know if they were listeners or not, but they were very nice people.
That's good.
His name was the Honourable Gareth Jones, and he works for a company, according to his ticket purchasing information, Huge Dildos Incorporated. You got me a beauty there, Honourable Gareth.
And yet, yes, Matt does check every person who comes to his show's personal details.
No, the venue actually pointed that out to me.
Oh, okay.
They're like, did you see this guy? Also met a listener called Chelsea, and I met a bunch of listeners. They're all very cool people. I shouldn't single any of them out.
But here you are doing exactly that.
Gareth and Chelsea, just two names that are on the top of my head. But so many nice, cool people.
That's awesome.
Came along. Also, Shepherd, who... He's a Twitter follower as well.
Yep.
Who's one of those ones that never shows his face.
Oh.
And I saw his face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to the people of Brisbane for taking some pity on our little Maddie.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys.
And soldiering on through that hour of pain and suffering.
Yeah, you know.
There's no good. I know. We know. We have to sit through it next week.
Well, we will. That's right. Matt is bringing his hour of pain and suffering to us.
It's comedy.
To Sydney.
Well,
it's a comedy show.
I mean, that's subjective, isn't it?
It is subjectively a comedy show. Objectively.
There we go, yeah. Oh, my God.
But you are coming to Sydney this weekend, Matt, and as are Jess and I for our live show on Sunday. Do not forget, it's sold out, but if you are
have a ticket holder, please do come down to the Chippo Hotel this Sunday afternoon.
But what if no one came?
That'd be amazing. Well, we'd have...
we'd have the money.
We'd have a party.
And we could just hang out.
We'd probably just record the episode,
to be honest. In fact, no one come.
We still have to make the recording happen because we've got to put the episode out that week.
Yeah, right. It'll just sound really empty and sad.
We'll probably just take it back to the hotel room.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Get drunk.
Yes.
All right.
I reckon.
I'm sober. No, I'm not.
So if you didn't get a ticket to the live show, you can come there and still be in the same room as us. One of us will be talking. It'll be like one of the episodes where I do a report, like today.
I can heckle you if you like, if people want to hear our voices.
If you guys could chip in.
If you want to take a little break from your little show, from your little skits and riddles, Dave or I could jump up.
Yeah, no, I'll tag in at any time.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tag you guys in at some point.
I know some of your bits.
I do too. I'm really...
And not your comedy bits. And I'll do them.
You're going to do my bits.
Live.
Live on stage. Dave, I don't believe you. You still haven't humped a watermelon.
Mm.
Your name is Mud.
That's because you refuse to film it.
I do not refuse. Well, I mean, I won't film it, sure, but yeah, I guess I do refuse.
Well, speaking of other
things, set up a camera
that we promised we would do, we also had a Patreon goal that you or I would get a tattoo, and we put that out to the people, and... Matt, you kind of put the poll out there. Dave and I actually don't know the results.
Oh, right. Oh, cool. Yeah, I've known the results for a little while.
So it's closed. We're legit not being kept in the loop.
It's closed. And it's closed. And even if it wasn't, there weren't enough people left who could have
in the world.
Around. In the world. It was that
we had
much
more
of a
than
landslide.
4 billion votes.
And the votes went by more than 70%.
Wow.
Closer to 80% to Jess Perkins.
I'm
genuinely surprised. I would have thought people would have loved to have seen you in pain.
Well, no, I was thinking that just because they could have chosen my tattoo seemed like a more exciting thing. But I think in the end, they were just like, Jess wants it more. So,
which is so lovely and so typical of our listeners who are like, oh, let's give Jess something. You guys are the best, so I'm going to get a tattoo.
Look, 70 and 80% of them are the best.
Yeah, the other
And the other ones, look, I'm with them. If I was them, I would have voted for me as well. No doubt about it. And I was willing to get something pretty wild, so I'm probably relieved.
Maybe in the future.
So what are you going to get, Jess?
I'm going to get a banana playing the ukulele.
Oh, this is so
And
good.
It also has a swastika tattoo on its arm.
Okay.
It's not me, it's the banana who loves it.
Is that a political statement?
It's weird. I don't understand.
It's banana. What I want.
Oh, it's okay. It's what you
I
want.
I love ukuleles.
Oh, no.
Okay. Don't go on. You're really trying to
take some heat from me here. I appreciate it.
I thought we'd sort of moved on from any sort of sympathies, but.
Look, it.
Jess.
It slipped out of my mouth.
And you just kept chasing it.
Let's pod.
All right. Well, we will be filming Jess getting that tattoo very, very soon.
We also did another poll, or I did a poll personally for my topic this week, and I put it out to all the people for the first time. And there were I gave 10 options, right?
Whoa.
And they were all based on Canada. So they're all Canadian-related topics.
Awesome.
One came out in front by like a decent margin. It got over a third of the votes, which is a pretty chunky result. For
wow!
And you got quite a few votes this time. Race.
Yeah, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
That's fucking
awesome.
Cool!
That's great.
But the winner. Well, I guess I asked the question. I get the reason people asked me to do a Canadian report is because there's a celebration of the 150 years of white settlement there. I guess it's a slightly controversial one because much like our own Australia Day, people, like, it's really split the country. I don't know as much about Canada, obviously, and I really probably am not in any place to talk about it, so maybe I shouldn't, but I know...
I've got a couple of questions.
but it's more about, it's like people wondering, should we be celebrating this event that was so painful to the indigenous peoples of the country? Mm. I like how maybe it's Vancouver, have called their celebration... Canada 150 plus,
oh,
sort of
nice.
Like, and they almost called it off. I think it was Vancouver. They were talking about it maybe being inappropriate, but they ended up sort of talking to community groups and stuff. Anyway, that's not what this topic is about. That's why the Canadian topic vote happened.
Right, and we had a few Canadian people being like, hey, talk about my great country.
Yeah. We have done a few in the past. We did the one about the Montreal screw job, which mm-hmm. was quite Canadian related. We also did...
Montreal being in the title.
Yes, that's true.
That helps.
But also the key wrestler there was a Canadian man. But also Dave did a topic
called... The October Crisis.
Which is a classic...
Canadian kidnapping story. If you haven't heard that one, I'd never heard of it before. It's fun.
Anyway, here's the question for this week's topic. What is said to be the most significant agricultural crime ever committed in Canada?
Agricultural crime.
Oh, the great corn steal.
Oh, man, that is so close. That is so ridiculously close.
What are you talking about?
The great something something heist is what it is.
The great corn heist.
It's the great maple syrup heist. Even more...
Man, so seriously.
It was so good. Corn syrup is like...
Oh, yeah.
That is was so
That's what close. I meant. I meant corn syrup heist, everyone.
You misspoke and you meant maple syrup. Dave got it, everybody. Yay!
So had to go a little more Canadian on your food stuff.
The great maple syrup heist.
Man, we could have made moose jokes. I'm so sorry.
And this was suggested by Megan Elizabeth at Megan Harvey on Twitter. She also offered up herself as a tribute, I think she said.
Huh.
Which is like... That's like talk from that movie with the bow and arrow?
Yes.
Yes.
The Hunger Games.
Blowheart.
Oh my God, I thought you meant Robin Hood?
Blowheart. What did you think?
I'm not sure where I was going.
Hang on.
I'm not sure.
Why did you think the Hunger Games, that youth
heart.
Fiction
there's
novel.
A heart. There's something about heart in it?
No.
Blowheart? No. Is one of the main characters called Blowheart?
Katniss.
That's it.
Oh, so close. It's like corn to maple syrup.
Yeah.
We're nearly nailing it.
Blow heart.
There's no heart in it?
No.
She's the Mockingjay.
Yep.
All right. Well, end of story.
That's not the end of the story. Anyway.
Well, it said one thing, right? Anyway.
You're a Hunger Games fan.
Huge.
Really?
Loved it. Like
the books or the...
The books. And the movies were fine. Wow. I'm over it now, but I went through a phase of I was up to 3 a.m. smashing through the book. I loved him.
I like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, he's great.
Then they had to turn him into a robot or something in the last one, didn't they?
No.
No.
Or animate him.
No. I think his scenes have already been filmed, I think.
Might have been a different film.
I thought that he died before that, last one.
God, we're taking a long time to get
Philip Seymour Hoffman, a.k.a. Blowhard. Thank you.
All right, anyway, so...
this topic better be good so I can blow heart.
Before I get into the heist, which is blow heart...
So I can blow heart.
No, blow heart is he's the wrestler from the Montreal Screwjob.
That's not...
Blow the hitman heart. Isn't that right? No.
Fine if I'm taking requests.
I should probably, right up the top, going to talk a little bit about the maple syrup industry in Canada.
Right.
In particular, in Quebec... which is where this all went down. In Quebec, there's an organization called the Fédération des Producteurs Acériaux du Québec.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
Isn't what that sort of felt French?
Did it? How?
No, I was so with you.
I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna call it FPAC. FPAQ because that's what it abbreviates down to. In English, it's the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, basically.
That makes sense.
It was set up in 1966, which, Jess, as you know, is a good year because the Saints won their only premiership that year.
Oh, my God.
FPAC.
You have never... I was like, this is the first time Matt's ever paused or let me do a good year, and it was because you wanted to make a Saints reference.
Yep.
Fair enough. Carry on.
England also won the Soccer World Cup. So they're two shit football teams who won their only things in that year. So it was an interesting year. FPAC is an organization that regulates the production of maple syrup. They are a private organization and are sometimes described as a legal cartel.
Wow, so the mobsters of the...
They're like legal mobsters of the maple syrup game.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How? Okay, yep. I'm in. I'm in the cartel. Ask me anything.
Hey, I heard them down on New Street.
What is that character?
I'm trying to be your mobster, but I've sucked in some helium, okay?
A Quebecian?
Yeah.
Did you hear down on New Street they got a...
What is the accent?
They're trying to use maple syrup on their pancakes without paying us off, boss.
Is that French Canadian?
Absolutely not. It's no. That's very offensive.
I'm so sorry to everybody. And now I'm going back to the other character.
Look, you have one character.
Hey.
And it's a great character.
Hey, I've also got Michael Caine, so.
That's true.
It's fucking 2+.
Does Michael Caine like maple syrup?
Hello, I'm Michael Caine, and I do not like maple syrup.
I do not like Michael syrup.
In my family, we always called it Michael syrup, because I liked it as a kid, but I grew up and I didn't like it anymore.
So the FPAC, or the producers represented by FPAC, the cartel, they produce over... The Maple Mob. Produce over 70% of the world's syrup.
That's so much of it.
And that's just in Quebec.
So much.
Isn't that wild?
That's heaps.
70%.
Of the world, though.
Over 70%.
And it's just one place makes over... That's heaps, eh? Whoa.
I don't know what she's doing either.
All that syrup. What a lot of responsibility they must feel, hey?
It's a lot.
Whoa, syrup.
I don't know what's happening.
Why won't you look at me?
Well, I'm not just making fun of you. Usually you're the one who's like, the Spice Girls sold millions of records, guys. It's so good. It's so good.
So she's making fun of me for saying...
I'm hyped up.
Are you making fun of me for telling you a fact about syrup? I mean, that's what I'm here to do. Just
that's
doing
true.
My job,
you're,
Jess.
You're not wrong. Do go on.
So with this much control over supply, the organisation is also able to control the price, which is what they do. And maple syrup is now worth more than oil. I saw one source...
What?
Yeah. I saw one source say that it's worth about $1,300 per barrel, another one saying about $1,600. Obviously, it fluctuates a bit, but it's a lot of money
per barrel. I thought you were saying that industry-wise, it's worth more.
No, no.
I was like, holy shit.
No, not quite, but just buy the barrel.
What if we...
It would cost you more to buy a barrel of maple syrup than a barrel of oil, which I think makes sense to me.
What if we invented a maple syrup-powered car?
No, that's a stupid idea because it would cost you so much money.
What's that gonna
what's
help?
Your, is it gonna help
what's
the environment? Is that your angle?
It feels like that maybe would help the environment.
It smells good. It smells so good.
That's those two things are what I was thinking.
You would never need an air freshener.
The fumes would be delicious.
The money you'd save on air freshener.
I mean, they already are, obviously, but
yeah, I just try to save the world. One pancake at a time.
Yeah, you're onto something.
The organisation maintains a strategic reserve of syrup. So this is what often these sort of cartels do. They to control supply, they stockpile it rather than so the market isn't flooded.
My syrup.
After a big harvest, you know, they'll stockpile it so that in the leaner years they can maintain supply.
Is it like in one?
And maintain the
price. Is it in one like giant fish tank? They've got an aquarium that they bought from the Canadian government and filled it with maple syrup.
There's one shark in there, and it is not okay.
He's not very well.
No, that's definitely not what happened.
Oh, okay.
So this reserve, right, they call it the International Strategic Reserve, paired with the fact that they produce a high percentage of the world's product. This means that they can control the supply. It is sometimes referred to as the OPEC of maple syrup. I think they're often being pejorative when they do that. But, you know, OPEC being the organization of the petroleum exporting countries.
Yeah. And what do we put petroleum in?
Cars.
A lot of things.
Cars.
Point well made. It's a point well made.
Your Honor, I rest my case. The defense rests.
The strategic reserves are spread across a few warehouses in rural Quebec towns, including in Saint-Antoine-de-Tilly, which is the largest. I didn't try and do it with a French accent, because you really...
No, go for it. No, hey.
No, you're right.
Maddie.
This one holds over 6,000 tons. There's also one in Plessisville, with around 1,500 tons. And after a bumper season, they opened a third warehouse in Saint-Louis.
A third aquarium.
Des Blafonds, which holds 4,500 tons.
Fish.
Saint-Louis de Blandford.
Yeah, 4,500 fish.
1,000.
This last warehouse was set up in 2011, and our story starts the following year.
Oh, this is recent.
Hang on.
In July 2012.
Fuck, I was so close.
Sorry, Jess.
When you hear the maple syrup ice, I'm thinking... like 1880s.
Yeah, it does sound like a really old.
This is 2012.
It's a current thing. It's still in the media.
Awesome.
Is it the Canadian media?
In the Canadian media.
That would make sense, wouldn't it, Dave?
But it's
but like, I'm wondering if this is like a big story over there, where, because I've never heard of it.
It is a, but apparently it made worldwide headlines because it is such an eye-catching story. It's just a wild-sounding story, and it's just, I think people love it because you saw a lot of international reports being like, the most Canadian crime ever.
I think for a podcast.
Because they're famous for maple syrup.
A wild-sounding story is very beneficial, do you know? Like, if this story was visually provocative, we'd be fucked, you know?
I reckon Mac could describe it.
But a wild-sounding.
Close your eyes now, please. Picture this.
Unless you're driving.
It was a Canadian summer's day when Michael Guevara was doing an annual inventory check at the Saint-Louis-de-Blafond warehouse. Saint-Louis-de-Blafond
warehouse
is a small town northeast of Montreal with a population of approximately 900 people. So a very, very small town. You're picturing that in your mind's eye, Jess?
Mm-hmm.
Keep those fucking eyes closed.
Okay.
Dave. I was talking to Dave.
I can't tell. My eyes are closed. You enjoy that too much.
That was very nice.
Dave! Is that what you look like when you sleep? Because it's creepy.
Look, I'm going to make a confession. I have to close my eyes hard because otherwise they drift open. I'm not even... I sleep...
Drift open?
You'll find it when we tour this weekend. My eyes just open and I sleep with them halfway open. And I wake up with dry eyes. So you were laughing at a medical condition, Miss Perkins.
How dare you, Jess?
I have to close my eyes hard.
Oh, so hard.
Close my eyes so hard.
Good night.
Oh, night, yeah. I'm going to sleep so hard tonight.
Fucking come at me, dreams.
That all you got? Unicorns, yeah, that all you got? That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, stick with that thing.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm winning a gold medal at the Olympics, and Nan's alive.
Yeah, it's great. It is a hard room. Real hard.
Picture this, Dave. The warehouse was floor to ceiling with big barrels of maple syrup.
Floor to ceiling?
I've seen photos of it. It's just like it's just chockers.
How do you get to the top one? Do they have a big ladder like Belle has in Beauty and the Beast?
The way they talk about it with Gavro, it was just like he was climbing across them. So he's just doing an inventory, right? Just checking in.
One.
Yeah.
Two.
One a barrel. Two a barrel. I don't know why he says it with
three
the A
barrel.
In the
book.
Three a barrel.
No,
like
to
add a little rhythm to it.
A five
a barrel.
A six a barrel.
A seven a barrel.
More.
And then he gets writes
a more.
Many, many barrels. So many barrels. But he was climbing across the barrels, apparently, to count them or whatever. And he wasn't really expecting to find anything out of the ordinary. It was just every year they do this, and it's just checking the barrels. Having a great time.
Sure.
This guy loves counting barrels.
Stock take. Yeah. I've done many stock takes.
But then as he climbed high, he felt that a barrel below him was much lighter than it should have been. So light that he struggled to hold his weight on top of it, and it nearly toppled over. This was strange, as barrels should weigh over 600 pounds, or 270 kilos.
And he weighs less than that.
He weighs much, much less.
How do you know?
Well, I wasn't
he
imagining
was
a giant man.
Dave had his eyes closed hard.
Yeah.
And you could picture.
Some sort of sumo wrestler climbing barrels.
So when it sort of toppled, he went up to it and he tapped the barrel and it made like a gong sound.
No, he tapped it and he heard a little, hello.
Hey, get out of there. Get out of there.
I'll just be a minute.
Hey, what are you doing in there? You filling up the barrel?
After it wobbling... Then tapping and making a gong sound, he's like, maybe I should check.
Like, this guy's going to do like a nine
so
step check.
Way, I was like, I reckon I would have skipped from the nearly toppling to the lid.
Yeah.
Straight away.
He's going,
I'm going to smell it first.
I'm going to listen. Listen to see if there's maple syrup in there.
I don't want to jump to any conclusions. I'm going to sleep out tonight with the barrel. See if anything happens.
I'm going to buy the barrel dinner and see if it lets me in itself. Oh, it's playing hard to get. Okay, I'll just have to open up the lid. Oh, where the, what the fuck?
It's empty.
Where's the fucking serum? I just paid for dinner.
What did you buy the barrel?
$60 bottle of wine.
Steak?
No, just liquor. I only had $60 on my card.
His first instinct was that this was just a little anomaly. One empty barrel in a warehouse full of full barrels.
So it was just empty.
It was just empty.
Oh, maybe I was hoping there'd be something in there.
Maybe there's like a ransom note.
Or like an ancient golden artifact.
Jess thinks this is going to be a really wild story.
said it was pretty wild.
Really did I say it was wild?
Where you said it was wild.
Where syrup has been replaced by ancient golden artifact.
Yeah.
Look, Jess, he said it's going to be a cool story, but don't aim that high.
I don't even think I said it was a cool story.
You said wild.
Did I?
You said the word wild.
I'm prone to hyperbole. Anyway, please wind back your expectations.
Never. They are sky high.
So tell us more about this artifact.
What like, did it look like?
Is it big?
Was it solid gold? Was it of a pharaoh?
How did it get to Canada?
Queen once own it?
I mean, you're asking a lot of questions. All the answers will be there report goes. You're right.
We always jump ahead to the ancient artifact.
We get so excited.
So he didn't think he was going to find any more empty ones, but soon more barrels were found.
And inside them, more ancient golden artifacts.
Every time did he go through his 9-step process? Tap, tap, tap. Listen.
Fucking ages. Yeah.
$60 bottle of wine. He's broke.
Another night.
I've spent 60 grand. 1,000 bottles of wine.
Some of those that seemed to be full were actually full of water as well. So there were some empty, but many more were just sitting there full of water,
like
so
when
seemingly
you take your parents' liquor and you top up the bottle with water.
Very much like that. If you're smart, you do it with tea.
That's good.
I've heard.
But that would affect the taste more, I would think.
Yeah.
Your parents aren't idiots.
Oh, no, yeah, because you've finished it entirely.
Yeah, Matt doesn't muck around.
It affects the taste because there's no more alcohol in there.
Mm. Matt wasn't having a sip. He was drinking the whole bottle and going, oh, shit.
Oh, no. Better pop a brew on.
Matt's making tea again every Sunday, Mum. Every Sunday.
I love a cuppa. Yeah. Anyway, I'll just be in the den next to your liquor collection. No reason.
Ooh. In the den. That is classic affluence.
I did.
Imagine having a
Matt
den.
You couldn't afford a fucking
a
den.
A den?
We had a rumpus.
That's where your lions were.
Didn't you have 9 to a bedroom at one stage in your house?
Four to a bedroom.
That's all of you.
Yeah.
Why were you all in one room?
It was a 2-bedroom house.
And all 4 kids in one room.
Yeah, all right, 2 bedrooms, but how many dens?
We didn't have a den.
Oh, they didn't have a den.
It's bloody bullshit.
How quaint. How the other half.
What does a den even mean? Is that like a second
if
lounge?
You don't know.
Yeah, come on.
Third lounge?
Matt, yeah, a rumpus room. A formal dining room. A media centre.
An informal dining room.
Pool house. Billiard room. Library. Study. Smoking room. Greenhouse. Plus 9 bedrooms.
And various weapons.
Yeah. Of course, there's also secret rooms, but I won't talk about them on the show.
Obviously.
Sex stuff.
And that's just the bungalow.
Yeah.
So nearly...
Why would the bungalow have a pool house, you fucking idiot?
We're very affluent.
People, you know, they have money. They don't know what to do with
people.
People, please.
Bada bing, bada boom.
So nearly 540,000 gallons of syrup had been stolen.
Fuck.
It was a really big chunk of the strategic reserve.
Like, that's like millions of litres.
Okay, thank you. I was going to ask how much a gallon is.
I'm saying, and millions and millions of dollars worth.
Oof.
And that's how one of the largest agricultural crime investigations began. The FPAC headquarters were alerted and the cops were brought in.
Is there a specific branch of the police for agriculture?
No, for maple syrup, I imagine, in Canada. They're that serious about it.
Very good. Like us with beer.
Detective.
Get the beer squad out.
Detective Smith, beer squad.
There's this fun Vanity Fair article.
Was it fun?
You shut your
That's
goddamn.
That's so fun.
There's this Vanity. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. This fun Vanity Fair article, and it asked Vanity Fun, more like it. Funity Fun. It asked some great questions about the mystery, like who would steal syrup and. Even if some sick bastard wanted to, what would he carry it away in? How far could he get? Good question.
I'm wondering all these things.
That is so fun.
It's fun, man.
You better
That's fun.
You better watch yourself.
I'm really hyped. I'm going to just stay quiet for
a little bit.
What?
You sound a little drunk.
Yeah, you totally do.
Have you been drinking?
Have you been into your mum's liquor cabinet in the den again?
Shay, you don't know me.
You don't know me, mum.
I don't live with my mum.
Go drink a fucking tea, mum.
I
mean,
miss
bourbon.
Her every day. She's not dead. I just don't live with her.
Yeah, but Nan's alive in your dreams.
Cohen, who wrote the Vanity Fair article, went on to say that there was something stirring about making off with all that syrup. It boggled the mind. It felt less like a crime than a prank. What you might do to your brother if you were an all-powerful and he had a lot of syrup.
And you wanted to steal 2 million litres of syrup.
I really enjoyed Cohen's work there.
It's a prank. I've stolen several $100 million of syrup. Gotcha.
But I mean, you're making a joke of a joke that he already made, Dave, all right? Not to know and you, but...
Hey, Vanity Fair, there's no joke there. That is not a joke.
He was having fun.
I don't think he was.
He spoke to a hotel waiter in Montreal, and the waiter said, "Syrup is heavy and sticky. How do you hide it? Who do you get to smuggle it?
Down
Where can you sell it?
Down your
it's
pants.
Like stealing salt out of the sea. Down your pants.
Down your pants. Absolutely. That's how you smuggle it out. You put it down your pants.
It's like stealing salt out of the sea.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that at all.
I don't think it's
like putting it in.
It's like stealing syrup out of barrels. But
yeah, if you can steal salt out of sea, you could probably get syrup out of trees yourself.
Is that where syrup comes from?
Yeah, it's sap.
Is it tree blood?
I think it's like sap, and then they do stuff to it, and then it like thins it out, and maybe it like whatever it. You know, I can't tell you all the secrets.
Sounds like you're working for them.
But anyway, what a bloody mystery. Any theories at this point? Because I'm about to tell you what happened.
I'm staying quiet.
Matt, it's got to be an inside job. You can't just steal that.
Inside job is good, Dave.
Without people knowing.
You want to build on inside job?
For half a million gallons? It's ridiculous. It's not like if someone stole 10 barrels and suddenly Barry was having a bit more pancakes than usual, you'd be like, all right, well, fucking Barry did it.
Barry.
You know my theory.
It wasn't Barry, but... Good guess, Jess. You get the final guess.
You know, you asked me if I wanted to build on inside job.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inside pants job.
It happened inside pants.
they put the maple syrup down their pants.
Yep.
And just walked on out.
That feels like my nightmare.
But like pants with a tight cuff at the bottom.
Oh my god! So you just the worst.
Well, like some sort of scuba diving outfit, but that keeps the liquid in.
Yeah.
Like they've lined themselves with baking paper.
What are those pants you wear when you go fishing?
Gumboots. They're filled gumboots. It's brilliant. My favourite heist is when it ends with them walking out the front door.
Yeah, that's
of the maple syrup shop.
Doing a shooey of maple syrup on the front doorstep.
Yeah, that's my theory.
Celebratory shooey. All right. Or a gumby in Dave's case.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
So the investigation was initially led by the Quebec police, before the Royal Mounties came in and got involved. Yes. Just making it super Canadian.
Did you see Dudley Do-Right?
Yeah, I reckon I did back in the day with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Fraser.
What a guy. Brendan Fraser.
Poor guy. Looks like he's fallen on hard times.
He was much better in Tarzan.
According to one photo that's shown a lot. Is that what you mean?
I've seen him in a few interviews. He's not looking too great.
All right, mate. Well, we don't all have great watches and great faces.
Well, I judge people that don't.
All right, F1 East.
The investigation was broad and costly. They didn't have a lot to go on, but they chased up every lead. Any talk of black market syrup, they were all over it.
Can you say it was broad and costly again? Just trust me, it'll be worth it.
It was broad and costly.
Well, I'm a costly broad. It wasn't worth it.
I'm not sure if... Can we just get Jess's mic?
Yep, it's off.
I did say great. I'd be quiet. I'm sorry.
It's now officially off.
It was a huge investigation. Around 300 people were questioned and 40 search warrants were taken out. And it was all worth it because it led to the arrests of 26 people. Those 26 arrests led to varying results. Some charges were dropped. Some were acquitted. And I believe there is ongoing legal action, actually, in this case. It's that recent that it's still happening. So I should say allegedly a lot, probably. But these are all this is from court reports.
Just wondering what their plan was. Was it extortion? Were they going to try and sell it?
Yeah, I think this probably tells us how current it is. There's not even a Wikipedia page dedicated to it yet.
We could be that Wikipedia page.
We could be that Wikipedia
page. We could be a source. We could be a source. Someone do that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We could be a source or a syrup or... I'm going back off. Sorry.
Don't know how she turned herself back on there.
Though court action is still ongoing now, it does seem like the investigation was pretty efficient, obviously with those arrests. Within the year of the crime being discovered, one of the leading investigations, Lieutenant Guy Lepon, of the Quebec police, told reporters that they were well on their way to busting the case wide open, saying they were basically inside guys, like Dave suggested. The leader wasn't with the Federation, but he had access to the warehouse that would not attract any suspicion. The leader, Lepont spoke of, was Avic Caron. This wasn't a heist that Caron went searching for, though. Rather, it landed right on his doorstep when in 2011, the FPAC rented a warehouse co-owned by his wife. That warehouse was the one at Saint-Louis-de-Blofond. Man, it feels like I'm saying a French word there. It would make my dreams come true if I'm anywhere near it. I like how our reporter Graham Hamilton from the National Post put it. He said it was as if he had been handed the keys to a bank vault. Caron almost immediately began looking for black market buyer who could convert the syrup-filled barrels into cash in his pocket.
And what's this dude's name? FPAC.
FPAC's the...
Sorry, yeah, that's FPAC. It's just hard to follow when you're saying these French names and you're like, sorry, what? Was that a word?
Because he's saying them so perfectly.
What's the...
Avic Caron.
Avic.
Avic, A-V-I-K.
And you mentioned pocket at the end there. Perhaps a pocket... in his pants. Perkins, you've done it again.
Well, I don't need to go on.
I don't know what's
wrong. That's how he started early on. He just took a pocket full down to the pub. Hey?
Hey?
Put your hand in my right pocket. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed this time.
It's pure.
This time?
It's pure. I'll give it to you for a buck.
Pint of beer. Soon after FPAC started filling the warehouse with syrup back in 2011... a friend introduced Caron to Richard Valliers. I have no idea how to pronounce that. A man who made his money buying and selling syrup. often bending the rules and getting around the Federation system. He was this sort of role was known as being a barrel roller.
Get that was
sort
out.
Of the slang term for he'd take it and he'll sort of like, almost like rebadging it.
I'd love to see his LinkedIn profile.
Barrel roller.
Barrel roller. 2009 to 2011.
2009.
What a guy.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. I didn't understand. Turn me off again.
Did you? Is it? What is it tonight?
I don't know.
Have you had like pure maple syrup? Did you know this episode was coming out?
Yeah.
It's like you're buzzing.
Yeah, I'm buzzing. I'm going to sit back here. I'm going to sit back here now.
No, I'm enjoying it, I'm
no,
sure.
No, the listeners are not.
I reckon, I'm pretty sure some of them will be hating it, but some of them will be fucking loving it.
And the ones who hate it will be the ones who get in contact. Hey, Jess, shut the fuck up. Like, righto.
Nah, they're the vocal minority. During the autumn of 2011, a truck started arriving at the St. Louis de Blafond warehouse. One of these times I'll get that right, I reckon. It would load up barrels of syrup from the spring harvest. From there, the barrels would be driven to Raymond Valliere's Sugar Shack. Have you heard of Sugar Shacks? I hadn't heard of a Sugar Shack.
What's a Sugar Shack?
Sugar Shack is a small cabin where the sap is boiled down to make maple syrup.
Isn't that also what you call your balls, Dave?
Sugar Shack. Get a load of Sugar Sack.
Get a load of my Sugar Shack. Nah, it's Shack, mate. Sugar Shack.
When the shacks are rocking, leave my balls alone. I got issues.
Stop rocking them.
Stop rocking my balls.
I'm trying to sleep. I'm already closing my eyes really hard.
I can't both close my eyes and settle my balls hard at the same time. It's one or the other. If my eyes are closed, the balls get bloody out of control. It's a weird thing that I got.
I didn't know that balls did that.
Yeah, well.
God, I'm missing out.
You sure are. You sure are. It's a curse. It's not a blessing, Jess.
Double-edged sword. Sugar Shack. So, but is no one noticing that there's a truck that's rocking up and taking a lot of barrels away? Is there security cameras and stuff?
Interesting. I'm going to talk about security in a little bit. You would have noticed that with my perfect pronunciation that Raymond and Richard share the same name. Raymond is Richard's father, the barrel roller's dad. So it's his sugar shack where they're taking the barrels to. And from there, at the sugar shack, that's where they'd empty the barrels, siphoning them out, basically like they were siphoning out petrol from a car.
With their mouth.
Well, you only have to get it to get the flow going.
Yeah.
And then they'd fill them with water from a nearby creek before returning them to the warehouse.
And what are they tipping them into, though?
They're tipping them into less sanitary vestibules.
Like Coke bottles.
No, they're other barrels. But
toilets.
Then, but apparently...
That's really unsanitary.
One of the judges in a case was mentioning how they were not particularly food safe.
So a toilet.
And there was some talk that... I don't think a toilet, no. Because that would... I mean, what would the point of that be? flushing it down.
Funny when Dave says it. That's interesting.
No one would ever question it, though, would they? Would anyone ever question that? No one ever be like... Oh, you keep.
What's this brown goo in the toilet?
Yeah, people. No one wants to ask that question. No one does. Trust me.
Wait, what are you suggesting that they?
They're flushing, like you know what?
Flush it, and then somewhere down the sewer, the buyer is
the only sort of barren type thing that I'm associating with this is the beer barren episode of The Simpsons where Homer bowling balls full of liquor.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking that they're flushing toilets full of maple syrup to another
location.
They're
putting toilets down toilets.
No, they're flushing maple syrup down the toilet, but the toilet is actually hooked up to an exclusive line.
Right.
And it's pouring into Moe's Bar.
You have to make sure you're using the right toilet.
That makes sense.
You always have to full flush, because half a flush is not getting that gluggy liquid down.
That's an Australian thing, Dave, I believe. The half and full flush is an Australian invention, do you know that?
Really? Yeah. God, we've made some good things, haven't we?
List them.
Hill's Hoist.
All right, done.
Wi-Fi.
Vegemite.
When was the last time you saw a Hill's Hoist? It's the thing that people always name about Australia.
Sheep.
There's one in my apartment's backyard.
All right. That's it's hard to argue against.
Paul Hogan. Tax fraud.
Mm.
Allegedly. In some ways, this was a victimless crime. In other, more accurate ways, it was a very victimful crime. Yeah. With
they've stole tens of millions of dollars from someone.
Thousands of law-abiding syrup producers being the victims. That was, I think, that's my joke for the report.
That was so good.
I mean, Dave talked over, but that was
Matt. That joke was so funny.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Cutting all this out.
That was so funny.
This is all on the floor. You're wasting everyone's time right now.
Fuck. I'm in a weird place. Is this not fun for you? I'm having a great time.
In the winter of 2011-2012, the creek near Raymond's sugar shack froze over, which meant a change of plans was required.
Raymond's sugar shack. We got all the sugar you'll need. We got...
Are you okay?
I'm doing an ad for Raymond's Sugar Shack.
I mean, you really petered out there.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't think of types of sugar. We got brown. Your raw sugar.
Brown.
We got...
sugar cane. Sexual sugar.
What's the really fine one?
Refined sugar?
No, it's an even finer one. So it's like a sugar.
Brown sugar?
We got sugar syrup. We got
gummy bears. That's the type of sugar.
Okay, I'm sorry, keep going. I was going away now.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, you've said that a few times.
I know.
The creek there froze over, so they had to come up with another plan.
Because they couldn't wash out the barrels?
They couldn't fill the barrels. Oh, sorry, yeah. That's where they were getting the water to fill the barrels. So they found another warehouse in Montreal. But the plan just kept on going unhindered. It was just like, it sounds like there was never any suspicion.
No one cared. But because, okay, you say it's worth more per barrel than oil, but this wouldn't happen in the oil industry.
Yeah.
You couldn't just drive in, fill up your truck full of barrels of oil and drive it to your own warehouse.
Yeah.
Tip them out and fill them with water and
take them back.
There'd be a couple of questions.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do this. How many barrels did they lose?
Thousands.
You couldn't do this hundreds of times.
Yeah, over months and months, day after day.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
This is so wild. And when are you going to get to that golden magical treasure?
Artifact.
That will be later.
Thank you. Good.
But this is sort of what you've been alluding to. How do you picture the warehouse? Because when I'm thinking about it, like one of the main strategic stockpiles of this pure Canadian, like super important, supposedly super important, expensive syrup. What are you imagining? I was sort of imagining like this Fort Knox kind of.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like something
machine
with,
guns.
I wouldn't say machine guns. I reckon like barbed wire fence, possibly like guards patrolling a little bit.
I was imagining it in a big stable. We all went different ways there.
You were closer, I think, Jess, because it turned out that they were pretty cheap on security, FPAC. During a later trial, Patrick McTude, one of the owners of the warehouse in Saint-Louis-de-Blaport, testified that FPAC had shown little to no concern for the security of the stockpile, saying that the warehouse had a fence locked with a padlock, the doors locked, and a foreman who lived on the site, but the Federation declined to pay for additional security. He went on to say that otherwise, as far as security goes, the Federation knew very well there wasn't any. It wasn't fortified. There were no security cameras or guards.
What the hell?
Not even cameras.
In many ways, this did happen in the 1880s. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
In a barn. That's what it feels like in some ways.
And also the sugar shack. How many barrels can that fit? I'm imagining like 9.
Well, yeah, I guess. Well,
casting sugar.
Casting sugar.
That's what I was going for. We've got casting sugar. Brown sugar. Ray does his own ads. He's no good. Come on down to Raymond's Sugar Shack, or we've got all your sugary needs. Remember, bulk discounts available if you mention the code word Sugar Daddy.
And as we always say here at Sugar Shack, Raymond, what's the catchphrase again?
Sugar baby, all right.
Ooh, sugar baby, all right. And Raymond, he only got one take, didn't he?
What? Yeah, he only needed one take, sorry. Dave. Yeah. It wasn't that he only got... Like, he booked the studio for an hour. It was a green screen. But he only needed the one.
So with no one, no security or anything, no one suspecting anything was up, they just became more and more brazen. Eventually, they just drained the barrels directly in the warehouse.
Oh my God.
In the end, they just painted over the sign that just said, you know,
ours now.
Ours. Mine. They knocked on the foreman and said, hey, you're fired. Oh, okay.
Well, get your stuff and get out.
Actually, don't get your stuff. That's ours now. I've just spray painted my name on it.
Ours.
That dog spray painted it.
It's ours dog.
I don't think it can breathe. I killed your dog. Now you can have that. You can take care of that dead body. I don't want it.
I don't want it.
I don't
want
to look after a dead dog.
It's all yours, mate. Get it out of here. According to court documents, of the 16,224 barrels stored, I only just found this out before, so if I said some other number earlier, this one's probably more accurate, because this was, I got this directly off a Canadian law site that Megan sent me a link to, because she was my...
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
She was my Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That took forever. Sorry, Megan.
What's the actual word?
Tribute. Jesus.
This is just a tribute. So according to court documents, of the 16,224 barrels stored, 9,571 barrels were emptied. 9,000.
That's over half.
571.
What? That is insane.
Which represented a total of 5,935,250 pounds of maple syrup.
Whoa.
Valued at approximately 17.8 million Canadian dollars.
Whoa.
Which I think is more, be 20 something Australian.
Do you think million. That's funny now, Vanity Fair? You prick.
Still having fun?
Still pranking your brother, you dog.
It's so fun.
Yeah, it's a good prank.
He was having a bit of fun.
So fun.
I think he was an American writer. And he, you know, I think the American definitely...
Different concept of fun.
Their media was definitely looking at this as being those quirky little Canadians with their little funny crimes. Which I guess is what we're doing. Sorry, everybody.
We're as bad as Americans, isn't
we? No, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. What would be the equivalent in Australia of the maple syrup heist?
Oh.
The Hills Hoys heist.
Oh, that's good.
Would it be like a dingo baby?
No, that happened and it was not that funny.
Oh, I'm not saying the dingoes were heisting babies. I meant like it'd be like dingo's offspring.
A pup.
Yeah, but that's not really an industry here, is it?
What about just Vegemite factory being broken
it'd
into?
It'd be a Vegemite factory.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine trying to siphon Vegemite.
Keep sucking.
It is thick.
I didn't like that sound. Oh, no, I don't like that.
They call Vegemite black gold. They call it black oil, Texas
guess
tea.
They call it black oil.
Black oil.
As opposed to clear oil.
Well, I mean, that was my joke.
Olive oil is clear.
He's packing.
Yeah, I've been stealing a bit of Vegemite from McDonald's myself.
Where was that? In his pants.
I've just pulled out a little tub of Vegemite.
Do you think McDonald's around the world have Vegemite?
Why were you at McDonald's without me?
That question changed in the middle.
I know.
Yeah,
when we fly to Sydney together, can I get hash browns at McDonald's? At the airport.
No, we're not plugging McDonald's.
Yeah, this episode brought to you by Movement Watchers, not McDonald's.
So from there, Valère sold the stolen syrup to a man named Etienne Saint-Pierre.
Nailed it.
Or like if I was reading that out phonetically, it'd be Etienne Saint-Pierre, who rebranded it so that it appeared to be from New Brunswick rather than Quebec. So Quebec, in the Quebec world, that's like pretty tight. That's all FPAC. New Brunswick, which is not far away, that's the free new world.
Oh, right. That's the anyone's game.
It's a little bit looser over there, but it's nowhere near as big of a market and stuff there. Raymond Villers, his son Richard, and Etienne Saint-Pierre were all sent to trial, and that trial occurred only last year.
Oh, wow.
During the trial, Saint-Pierre told the jury, "You can't prove what tree that syrup came from," which seems like a dumb tactic to me.
Yeah, he was pleading that he was mentally ill.
He was saying he was not guilty, but he's like taunting them, basically. I reckon I would have said something like, "Surely you can prove that syrup I have is not the stolen syrup. I'm sure science could somehow prove that it's from New Brunswick, not there." You know, you'd be playing dumb, not going,
I know you can't prove it. I know you can't.
I dare you to find me guilty. I fucking dare you.
I might be reading it in a different tone.
I've killed before and I'll kill again.
What's that, sir?
And I've also stolen my... I mean, no, I haven't. Ooh. Haven't stolen maple syrup. I've just killed.
Certainly not in this case. I've stolen a lot of maple syrup, but not this particular thousands and thousands of pounds.
No.
I stole different thousands of pounds. During the trial, Saint-Pierre also admitted that he wasn't a fan of FPAC and that he resented their control of the market, suggesting they are like the mafia.
I was hoping you were going to say that he said that he was not a fan of maple syrup, and because of that, look, I'll try maple syrup. Yuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yuck. Get it out of my face. Yuck.
Couldn't stand to be near it.
I'm practically allergic. How could I steal 5,000 pounds of it?
As if I'd siphon this.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, yuck.
But really, he said that he can't stand them, and that that's not looking good for him, though, is it?
No, not really, no. Buying it from Valère meant he didn't have to go through the Federation he despised so much. So he was going through a barrel roller.
Sure.
In court, Richard Valère admitted that he did fill the barrels with water, but said he was forced to by an armed man who apparently threateningly told him, "I know where you live."
In that accent.
And he did this over several months.
I still know where you live.
Yeah.
But to be honest, they formed quite a nice bond.
They hung out had a lot of lunch breaks together.
Yeah, it was quite nice. Like, they'd chat about, you know, the footy and the weather we're having, and then just every now and then be like, just by the way, I've still got that gun.
I know where you live, mainly because I pick you up for work every morning at 9 a.m.
Thank you for always bringing a coffee out into the car with you for me. That's very nice.
Appreciate that. You got access to sugar, and I like it.
They're my favourite kind of excuses or alibis for something is... I did everything you're accusing me of. Obviously, you've got a lot of proof, and I can't argue against that. I definitely did it. But I didn't want to. A guy that I can't name or tell you anything more about said I have to do it, and yeah, I'm
so
innocent.
So, is
that enough? Sorry to have wasted your time. I wish I was guilty too. it doesn't seem that that he was able to identify the man, and the story didn't wash with the jury as he was found guilty of the theft, also fraud and trafficking stolen goods. His father... I'm going to start that again because I sort of re-said something that I already said. Sorry, future Matt. Anyway, it seems like this story about the man with the gun, who, you know, allegedly exists as a real human... apparently that didn't wash with the jury because he was... Yeah.
Hmm.
You seem shocked.
Hmm. My mouth is agape.
Did you think my next paragraph was going to be all about the man with the gun and how he did it?
Do you know what I'd do?
And how they tracked him down.
I'd say, like, I don't know what he looks like and I can't really describe his voice, but I remember what he smells like, so...
Very syrupy.
Do you want me to describe that to you in great detail? He smells like Lynx Africa. So just find anybody who uses that body spray and...
Oh, no.
The lead suspect is a 13-year-old boy.
In gym.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, miss.
Look at him. He's got syrup all over him. He's sticky. He's got sticky fingers.
Oh, that's just being a teenage boy.
Oh.
I just meant because they're messy when they eat their lunch, Dave. Come on.
I think that's what we all meant, Dave. What were you meaning?
Yeah, lunch. So sticky.
His father, Raymond, was also found... So, did I mention that he was found guilty of the theft, fraud and trafficking? That was...
I love that the jury
Richard.
Took him up on his dare. I dare you.
Go
and
on.
Then they found him guilty. He went, fuck, that backfired.
Yeah, all right, well played.
No, I double dare you.
I did ask for that. His father, Raymond, was also found guilty... him on possession of stolen goods and of fraud with the intention to traffic, and Saint-Pierre was found guilty of fraud and trafficking stolen goods. The guilty verdicts were handed down just last year, like I said, when the trial happened, but only a few months ago the sentencing occurred, And this is, as it was reported in the Canadian press, this is how the sentences went down. Superior Court Justice Raymond Pronovos sentenced Richard Valles to 8 years in prison.
It does sound a bit like you don't have permission to say their names, so you're sort of redacting them as you say it, but really, you're just losing confidence. So 8 years.
8 years. Also confiscated $606,000 from him and fined him a further $9.4
million. Oh,
that's
Jesus.
A sizey fine. Oh. Big fine in the end there. So he was convicted of the theft, fraud, and receiving stolen goods. Will have to pay back the money over a 10-year period or risk having his sentence increased by 6 years.
So he's got to pay $900,000 a year whilst living in prison, making no money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite have... Or is it like they're like, he's made so much money from these crimes, he's just got it, and it's just accruing interest in his account.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's not the case. So yeah, I don't know, how do you come across...
$900,000 a year.
It's like, so it's like, be rich, and you don't have to be in jail for another 6 years.
He's like, well, if I was rich, I wouldn't have done this crime in the first place.
What happened to democracy in Canada? It used to be a beacon. The other two men, Raymond Villiers and Etienne Saint-Pierre, were each sentenced to jail terms of 2 years minus 1 day for some reason to be served in the community, as well as 3 years probation. Raymond Villiers
not a sentence at all.
Will be required to pay $9,840 within 1 year or go to jail for 6 months, while Saint-Pierre must pay $1.3 million over 15 years or be imprisoned for 5 years. It seems like such a weird... It all seems so random.
And I love how you will be punished and go to jail amongst society and live in society. That's not a...
You naughty, naughty boy.
Also, one of you pays $9,000, one of you pays $9 million. Work it out amongst yourselves. Either or. Draw straws. Oh, shit.
The one of the key characters who we talked about right up the top, haven't mentioned for a little while. What do you think happened in Caron, the man who allegedly kicked it all off?
Oh,
he pleaded, unlike the others, he pleaded guilty, and the presiding judge Jacques Lecoursier noted that the court regards this matter as the perfect illustration of the maxim, opportunity makes the thief, highlighting how none of it may have happened if the FPAC hadn't rented his wife's warehouse. Basically, all of this happened because of the opportunity. Opportunity makes the thief. I've never even heard that maxim.
I like
that, though. It does sound a little bit like an excuse that doesn't really hold up. It's like, well, if you never went to that bank that day, you may not have held it up with a gun. So, anyway, we all would have done it.
Yep.
We all would have done
it. Out of my hands.
It's the bank's fault for existing.
Yeah.
Judge Jacques went on to sentence Caron harshly despite his guilty plea, calling him the instigator of the heist and handing down a 5-year prison term and a $1.2 million fine. On hearing his punishment, Caron exploded with anger, yelling that he had been misled by his lawyer into pleading guilty. He swore at the judge, banged on a wall, and wrestled with a guard who tried to restrain him.
Good, good. Yes.
That's how you get him.
I really like the image because it's just like he's like pleaded guilty. He's been told by his lawyer, if you plead guilty, you'll get it. So it's like, yes, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I'm very sorry. And I throw myself at the mercy of the court. Great. Well, that's 5 years in prison and $1.2 million charged. You fucking what? You dog.
Banging on a wall. Sir, please stop banging on the wall. Please. They're so polite in Canada. Please, sir. Please.
That was some great acting, Matt.
Thank you. I believed
that.
No, I was there. I was in it.
You're a method actor.
So that's it. That's the story. It's still the... a lot of those guys are appealing. The ones that didn't... They're
very appealing.
Caron was like... that's real good stuff. Caron was like, apparently he was like going, I wouldn't have pleaded guilty. I was misled. And he's like, give me a trial. I want this to go to trial. And the judge is like, nah, it's too late, mate. And that's why I was like, fucking Jesus. Anyway.
Have they found the man that was holding them at gunpoint,
never,
forcing them over not, several months to as, steal millions of dollars of not oil, but syrup?
As well, far as I know, they haven't. But I think... This is the kind of this is a topic that is going to be ongoing. I think it's actually it's been the rights to the story have been bought for a movie.
Great. Nicolas Cage is set to cast.
It's actually Jason Segel.
Liam Hemsworth.
Jason Segel.
Really?
Mm. So I guess, which makes it sound like it must be more of a comedy. Maybe they'll get a romantic angle in there.
He can do.
Which
serious.
Is interesting because he was off the Muppets, and we talked about the Muppets last week.
I love Jason Segel.
I think I was imagining Jason Bateman this whole time. There you go.
But yeah, so there it is.
If you'd like to, Matt, read out the description of the man with the gun, maybe we could circulate that to our Canadian listeners and they can be on the lookout for him.
But more importantly, what did he smell like?
Yeah, Matt, just...
Lynx Africa.
So be on the lookout for a man with a gun that smells like Lynx Africa. Please call the Canadian Mounties.
Mm-hmm. So it seemed like such a bizarre crime, right? And the way people were talking about it earlier before I found out how it all went down, I'm like, wow, this is going to be fascinating. But in the end, it's really... more of a less of a story about of like an excitement or anything, more about just like bad security and painstaking work sucking out
such
maple
bad
syrup.
Security.
Yeah, they just had to put in some cameras and check them sporadically, and they would have found out what was going on.
You know where they have really good security though? At Raymond's Sugar Shack. We got CCTV.
Yeah, there's a man
we
with
got dogs.
There's a man with a gun inside the shack telling people to fill barrels full of oil syrup. I keep thinking of oil because that's actually a valuable liquid.
After I was well into the research and the report, I found out that it's actually not the only maple syrup heist that's ever happened over there. There's actually been a few different ones, so I'm hoping I picked the right one. This is the largest one, but there was another noteworthy one.
Was it one in 1880 like I imagined?
I imagine the early ones were 1880. There was one in 2006 where thieves took around $1.3 million of syrup from the stockpile also, or one of the different stockpiles.
So that was
one that was in dispute, actually.
So that was 5 years earlier and they still didn't put cameras up.
But this was from, I think it was from a different source. But apparently, according to Lieutenant Lepont, that investigation remains open, so that's a mystery, maybe a future mystery episode. But no mystery to this one, unless those appeals are successful, then maybe that man with the gun thing definitely is a mystery if that's real.
Yeah, but it feels like bullshit.
I mean, you know, I like to believe in the man with the gun.
I dare
Who
you to...
Who knows where you live?
I dare you to find him guilty.
You're guilty, mate.
Stop banging on, please, sir. Stop banging on the wall, please.
I will not. Well, that's the report. Thanks for having me. I'll see you later.
Bloody good stuff, Canada.
Great job, Maddie. Sorry about the hyper. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Look, you've crashed a lot over there.
Yeah.
What? Can you tell me what you took? Or
not on air.
Do we need to keep the airways clear and that sort of stuff?
If you wouldn't mind.
Roll you on your side.
Yeah. Don't let me be alone. But I'm so lonely.
Well, we'd like to dedicate that episode to the entire country of Canada and also thank our Canadian listeners. But we also like to thank...
especially Megan, who suggested the
Thanks,
topic.
Megan. Or Megan? Did I say Megan in Canada?
Oh, maybe they say Megan. Megan.
But we also like to thank everyone that supports the show over at Patreon. Patreon.com/DoGoOnPod is where you get all your Do Go On extra needs. By donating to our show, you get bonus episodes, a little newsletter from Match, and shout-outs on the show, which we would like to do now to thank a couple of people each.
You want to kick us off, Bopper?
Oh, I would love to. And I would like to thank someone that I feel like I've mentioned before because I think they suggested a topic, because you don't forget a name like P-Buster.
That's a great name.
It's honestly one of the names that
Mr. P-Buster.
It just sticks in my head, that name.
Mr. Rovalova.
From New York.
New York?
New York. I'm walking here. God, we're awful.
Is that New York?
Yeah, but I was told over the weekend that line was improvised.
Wow, that's great.
It's a great line.
From Back to the Future 2?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what?
I'm walking it. And the other person I would also like to thank, other than P-Buster, I would also really like to thank, from Corby in the UK, Dean Buzzard.
Oh, that's How a good great is that name? Name? That's like a great name.
I was going to say it sounds like a type of bird. It sounds is. Like a type of bird, but just buzz. But a Dean Buzzard sounds like a specific type of bird.
Like a species of a buzzard.
Yeah, look at that Dean Buzzard.
Yeah, that's cool. Ah, the African Dean Buzzard. Very good.
Thank you, Dean Buzzard.
Thank you, Dean. And thank you, P. Buster.
Well, from a couple of great names to another couple of great names, if I will. I'd like to thank all the way from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville,
Tennessee. Listener Jessica Fralin.
Jessica is a fantastic name.
It definitely is. And so is Fralin or Fralin, if you would like to pronounce it that way, Jessica. Thank you so much for all your support over in Tennessee. Is that anywhere near Knoxville, Tennessee, home of the Wig Sphere on The Simpsons? The Sun Sphere from the World Expo 1988, I believe, it was Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'd also like to thank back home, if I could, from Belmont in Western Australia, Annette McTaggart. Thank you, Annette. It is your time to shine on the airwaves here. Oh, so good. Belmont, WA, we'd love to visit that. We'd love to tour more of Australia.
Yeah, a few people have been asking about coming over to WA recently. I said to them that I'm looking to go there back for Perth Fringe. You guys should come too. Fringe World.
Possibly, yes, early next year, January, February time. And maybe we'll see you there, Annette McTaggart. I'm not sure if Belmont is anywhere. Is that... But WA is... It's honestly...
Belmont, WA, tiny.
Belmont. It's so small. I mean, it's only about the size of bloody Europe.
Yeah, it's just Europe. What's Europe?
Speck of dust.
Nothing compared to Asia.
Just floating through the air.
Speck of dust. I thought you were saying
speck of dust.
Belmont's just on just near the Perth Airport. It's just a suburb of Perth.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
There's
mate.
A good guy's story in Belmont.
And that we'll see you there. We'll see you there.
Annette's great. Hey, Annette, you keep doing you.
Yeah.
Don't reckon, Jess?
I could not reckon harder.
I'd love to, if we got a moment, I'd love to thank...
Nah, we're done. You're out of time. You're out of touch. I'm out of time.
I'd love to thank a name that I'm not going to be able to pronounce.
But you're going to give it a bloody red hot go.
Let me have a crack. I'd really love to thank, I'm such a big fan of our patrons. This obviously helped this show kick on and keep being made and etc. Audrey Chmielewski. It could be... Chmielewski. Audrey Chmielewski.
Audrey, I think you are very used to your surname being mispronounced. I'm sorry to have added to that.
Chmielewski.
But thank you.
Sick name.
For supporting the show. And that is a great name.
Beautiful first name too, Audrey.
Audrey, gorgeous.
Big fan of that name.
Gorgeous.
Big fan. She is a little bit more secretive though. I have no idea where in the world she's from.
Let's guess.
Where do you reckon?
Cape Town.
West Philadelphia.
I'm betting she's from Melbourne. She's got a real Melbourne vibe about her.
Okay. You think she likes a chai latte and a vintage bookstore?
Is that what we're about?
That's what we're all about. Oh. That's what I'm about. And I'm very Melbourne. I hate myself so much.
Don't worry. The people out there do too, Jess.
And they'll let me know.
Hey, you know who doesn't hate you?
Yep.
Mr. P-Buster.
Mr. P-Buster.
I'd also love to thank maybe almost our most frequent Twitter correspondent, Kathy Gribble.
Kathy.
From Maryville.
Kathy.
As they say over in Maryville. How do they print it? It's different.
You're thinking of Maryland.
Maryland. So Maryville might be how they say it. But if it's like Maryland, it would be Maryville.
I don't think it's Maryville.
No, it's Maryville.
Maryville. Thank you, Kathy. The other day, Kathy said I'm her spirit animal. But you know what, Kathy? I'm a person.
Is Kathy the one that we disappointed by saying that we don't watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Sorry, Kathy.
No, she wasn't disappointed. She was the opposite of disappointed. Oh, she said thank God, didn't she?
Yeah.
Oh,
she was stoked that we didn't.
And I'm happy to be a spirit animal, but I'm both a physical being and a human, so it's very difficult for me to do, but I will do it for you if that's what you need.
That's what she needs, mate. Do
then
it
that's
for her.
I'll bloody do it.
That's all she's asking.
I know, and I'm saying I'll do it for Kathy. Kathy with a K. Anyway.
Maryville, which is in Tennessee as well.
Hey!
double Tennessee episode.
That is real cool.
Hey.
I wonder you should hang out with Jessica Frowlin.
I wonder if it's anywhere near the wig shop.
No, stop.
Knoxville.
Cool. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and thanks for my report being so good again.
Don't thank yourself for that.
I don't know. I don't know if I nailed it. It felt...
No, it was fun.
I felt so excited about the idea of it, and I don't know if I fully gave it everything
Maddie,
it deserved.
You did great. You did so well. Would you like to thank either of us for any particular...
You are a bit particular,
...type of behaviour that has occurred throughout the show?
Thank you for... Thanks, Dave, for you being very sensible today.
Hey, thanks. I often get thanked for my sensible behaviour.
And thanks, Jess, for being a fucking loose unit, you mad dog.
Woo!
Now let's all close our eyes really hard. As we say, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you want to support the show, you can always do so at patreon.com/dogoonpod. You can always get in contact with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DoGoOnPod and DoGoOnPod@gmail.com if you're an email kind of guy or gal. But all the links are in the description of this episode. But until next week, we will say thank you so much for listening. And by next week's episode, Jess and I will be 1 year older.
Ooh,
well, technically that's not true. But anyway, we'll both be 27 years old. Until then, we will say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Come on down to Raymond's Sugar Store for all your sweet needs. We've now got a range of artificial sugars, which is kind of against our ethos, but it's what the people wanted. So I've got Equal. I've got Splendor. I've got Etc. Come on there, Raymond.
Thanks, Raymond. You nailed it in one take. Amazing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.